the compared with the UN, compared with the IMF, with the World Bank, not even 1/10 of the IMF's the budget. And still the IMF is on that deficit, is running on deficit. So its current current head is Pascal Lamy. Pascal Lamy is the, was once the French and was once the Europe's trade commissioner. The legal nature of the WTO, that's also a very important point. We are doing legal analysis. First, it is an independent, permanent, and international organization with legal personality. Compared with GATT, as I mentioned, GATT was an agreement. GATT was not an institution, although it was a de facto institution, but it was never institutionalized through international law. So under international law, WTO is an independent, permanent international organization with full legal personality. Meaning it could, so associated with legal personality are so the capabilities to the capacity to contract, the capacity to own property, the capacity to sue and be sued, the capacity to enjoy the privileges and the immunities, So that's the first legal nature of the WTO. And it is also centralized in terms of its governance structure. It is also a centralized system with uniform rules, based on the so-called single undertaking approach. Why this is important? Again, we compare with GATT. In the GATT, yes, it was not uniform, not centralized. The GATT operated very much on the so-called a la carte basis. Right? You order the food. The countries, the contracting parties could choose which agreement to join. Right? So you can, for example, in the Tokyo round enacted those, passed those anti-dumping code, right, and the anti-subsidies code. But the you don't have to join it. It's up to you. The member state can, the contracting party could choose whether to join the anti-dumping code or not. But in the WTO, that's no longer the case. Take it or leave it. You can either you accept everything. Of course, there are some exceptions, but very minor exceptions. But for the main agreements, either you join all of them or you leave the WTO. You leave the so-called single undertaking, which is actually very detrimental to the interest of developing countries. Because now developing countries have to abide by the same rules. The Tokyo round, according to the results of the Tokyo round, developing countries could become a free rider for the multilateral system. They don't have to assume obligations under a lot of agreements. But now they have to assume the same obligations for all the agreements, quite detrimental to the interest of the developing countries. Another legal nature is it requires very strict compliance at the national level. So members have to amend their existing laws or make new laws to comply with the WTO law. Which most member states have done, and China is especially. It is. Compared with GATT, compared actually with most other international organizations, it is a rule-based system. It has the most comprehensive, the largest body of legal rules at the international level compared with any other international organization. After the Uruguay round was finished, the legal documents of WTO somebody done calculation as 30,000 pages, A4 single space, A4 size, 30,000 pages legal document. You have to those rules, and those rules are enforced to a certain extent. It's actually the most rule-oriented organization at the international level, governmental organization at the international level. The principles of the world trading system, I will explain some of the principles in detail, like non-discrimination, that's very important, and the rules are very complicated. They sound very simple, Non-discrimination has two requirements, the most favored nation requirement and the national treatment requirement, but actually very, very difficult to understand. We will do this. I will ask you to do an analysis of the most favored nation treatment, right? Article 1, 1.1, 1.2, even 1.3, 1.4. We will see what it means. What it means very, very soon, but probably not today. Non-discrimination. That's its pillar. That's its the most fundamental principle of the world trading system, the non-discrimination, including most favored nation treatment and national treatment. And another principle is freer trade through negotiation. Not free trade, freer trade through negotiation. What does that mean? What does that mean?
More and more free.
Huh?
More and more through the negotiation.
Through negotiation, yeah. Yeah, sure.
The trade will become more and more free.
Right. Yeah, sure. And Yan-san.
Free trade is just our aim.
Yeah.
Not the truth.
Okay, so not the immediate goal. You're both right. So free trade through negotiation, freer trade through negotiation basically means every negotiation could only make trade freer than before, meaning the free trade, so negotiation, every round of negotiation could only reduce trade barriers, right? You can't increase tariff rates, right? You can't introduce, you shouldn't introduce more protectionist measures. So every round of trade, even between the individual members, like two members actually cannot negotiate to increase the tariff between them, like the U.S. and China. Can the U.S. and China reach an agreement to say we want to do it on the voluntary basis that we increase the trade for agricultural goods between our two countries, and we are willing to do it? You can't do it. This is illegal. This is illegal because you can negotiate to reduce the tariff rates, but you can't negotiate to increase it. That's freer trade negotiation. And another principle is the WTO, if you need to protect your domestic market, better do it through tariffs and the tariffs only. So elimination of non-tariff measures, So as a principle, protection should be conducted through tariffs only. Why tariffs only?
It's clear.
Transparency. And easy to operate. So if you have a change in your tariff rates, the whole world will know it. If you change the licensing agreement, if you say grant if you allow a government agency to decide who will be licensed to do the trade, that's first very opaque. And it's non-transparent, and it creates a lot of red tapes, and it creates also rent-seeking opportunities, corruption. But tariff, you can't do it. Tariff is actually, it's 5% to 5%, 10% to 10%, right? So the tariff is actually, tariffs have those qualities. And another principle is transparency. Predictability. So for both the international trade law system and national legal system, and the national legal system, it should be, the legal systems should be transparent and they should be predictable, right? WTO does encourage transparency. That's actually one of the fundamental conditions China accepted when it joined the WTO. So your legal system must be transparent. And what does transparency mean to you? We all talk about transparency. What does it mean? All the laws should be published. Is that all? So all the laws should be published. Then what else? Yes, that's laws, right? Procedures are also laws. So we publish the the procedures. What else? These are common sense stuff. Just open your mind and think about it. You don't even need to know it before. Just check. Is that publication of laws or how to enforce the law? Should
for
also
example,
be yes
of
examples.
Official corruption. They may be interactive.
Mm. Okay. So when the government implements the laws, when it enforces the laws, the process should also be transparent. So not only laws, not only the texts, but the enforcement process should also be transparent. Should let people know, let people watch, and let people have access to this process. Right. Okay, yeah, that's certainly part of transparency, the enforcement of the laws. Anything else? We have already talked about that, so the process.
If you made a new law or you amend your law, you should let reform the WTO.
If you make new laws, notify them. Mm-hmm. Right, notify them. Yeah. How about lawmaking process? Does transparency also entail that the government should allow people to participate in the lawmaking process?
That belongs domestic.
Well, it's that's actually one of the obligations China has accepted as its transparency obligation.
Including the legislation.
Yeah. Let me tell you what China has accepted, what obligations China has accepted with respect to the transparency requirement. Number one, China must publish all laws. Number two, non-published laws cannot be enforced. If you don't publish the law, you can't enforce the law. That will of course invalidate many of the so-called internal documents. Some of you may remember that before WTO accession, we have a lot of 内部文件, which were not accessible to the society, to the public. They were enforced. After WTO accession, the non-published laws can no longer be, all laws must be published. Non-published laws cannot be accessed, enforced. And obligation number three is the government must designate a point of contact where people can have access to the law. the government, there must be a place, official place, where people can bend the law. It cannot be a kind of a mere promise. You must actually, there must be a place people can go, bend the law. This is actually, the place is actually in MOFCOM, in the Ministry of Commerce. The Ministry of Commerce has a reading room. But nowadays it's no longer a problem because all laws are published through internet, the government websites. But there's that reading room is still the official place to read the all the Chinese laws. And obligation number four is the government must provide the period of time for people to comment on the law, on the draft, before they become law. Before they become law, right? That's actually why nowadays the most of the laws, almost all the laws, the government will solicit opinions through the internet. Right? So the property law and a lot of laws, the government ask the people to participate, ask the people to comment on it. Right? So those are the obligations China accepted with regard to transparency. That's actually part of the it was mentioned that China should translate, but that's actually a very ridiculous requirement. What does it mean? We can all translate a piece of Chinese legislation into English. But does that make any sense to Anna? You see so many translations. If you don't understand the original language, right? There's always a lost in translation problem. Right? So that was mentioned in the Work Party report, but it couldn't be a legal obligation. And no one seeks to, no WTO member seeks to enforce this, because that's really very ridiculous. Translation. Everybody can do a translation, and the translations will be very different. They're different to each other.
And what about the detail period? Have some restriction? The period? How long?
For the comment. Well, WTO accession document doesn't say how long. Well, in practice, it could be 1 year. 2 years, several months. But the property law, for the national property law, I think was 1 year, right? It's almost a year. For some state council regulations, just 3 months or something like that. You check the website of the National People's Congress and of the state council. There are a lot of laws waiting for public comments. So that's the... And another principle is promotion of a fair competition. So this principle could justify the anti-dumping law and anti-subsidies law, right? Because dumping and subsidies are considered as unfair trade. And the last one, encouraging development and economic reform, arguably it's a principle, but it's never been enforced, because it involves transfer of wealth from the developed countries to the developing countries. And how could you legalize this? It's based on the country's goodwill, whether they are willing to help those poor countries. Very difficult to make this a legal obligation. So those are the principles of the WTO. The exceptions we already mentioned, actually. And a few words of the legal, the structure of the legal text, then I can let you go. The legal structure, there's an overall treaty called the WTO agreement. With the A as the capital A. And the overall treaty, official name of the treaty is called the Final Act, embodying the results of the Uruguay round of multilateral negotiations. And there's also an agreement establishing the World Trade Organization. That's the agreement on the WTO as an institution. And there are also some major agreements for some major areas, like the GATT for goods, GATS for services, TRIPS for intellectual property rights, the dispute resolution, and the trade policy review, and also TRIMS. I didn't mention this, right? So the structure is very much like this. You have different areas, right? And you have the major agreements to state the major agreements to state the basic principles, but under the major main agreements you have additional details. For example, under GATT you have agriculture agreements, you have anti-dumping agreements, anti-subsidies agreements. Those are under GATT because they are for trading goods. They govern trading goods. Right? And the last part that most people wouldn't pay attention to, the country's commitments. That's actually the largest part of the WTO legal documents. Because by joining the WTO, every country will make a lot of commitments. Right? I open this sector, I liberalize that sector, tariff rates for each individual, category of goods. Those are actually the largest body of the legal documents. But they are part of, for example, China has made a lot of commitments. That's part of an international agreement. It's not only your own commitments, it's part of the WTO agreement, legal documents. So this is the structure of the WTO agreements. In addition, I mentioned that the WTO follows a single undertaking, but not for all the documents. There are four documents. It's called plurilateral documents. Countries can still choose to join on. Like the last two, the dairy and the meat agreement were already terminated. So for the treaty in civil aircraft and government procurement, no single undertaking obligation. You can choose to join. So China is still not a party, not a contracting party to the government procurement agreement, the GPA. That really annoys China's major trading partners, because the Chinese government has a tremendous spending power, buys a lot of things, but this area is not open to foreign suppliers. Okay, so much for WTO as an organization today, and next time we will discuss the most important, most favored nation treatment, MFN treatment. We do a legal, be purely legal. We do a legal analysis, a doctrinal analysis of the MFN and the national treatment rules. Okay, that's all for today. Thank you.